Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We've been talking about, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our faith, growing our faith, having a faith that really changes your life, something that is so significant to the way that you live each and every day, that it just changes the nature of how you see yourself and the journey that you're on. But so often when we define faith, people have this idea that faith is perhaps some kind of a blind trust, that you just step out in faith. You just believe that it's going to happen. And that's just not the case. Throughout the scriptures, people entered into a relationship that changed their lives. And it was a relationship based on what they trusted and what they knew to be true. And so I like this quote that I found that really is going to kick us off. It was by Elton Trueblood. And it said, "Faith is not belief without proof, but it is trust without reservation." Our faith in what God is doing is based on trust, based on what we know that we have already seen. There's a great quote by Martin Luther who once said, "When I cannot see the righteousness of God, I must assume it." And what he meant by that was that when he had experienced God's presence, the righteousness of God in his own life, there come those moments in our life when we're just uncertain about what direction our life is taking. And Luther said, "I judge the things that I don't see because of the things, through the things that I do see. I recognize God in the little things so that when I'm unsure of what tomorrow will bring, I trust Him based on what I already know." So we've talked about trust being a fundamental key to our understanding of faith. And we've talked about how faith in the Bible, the way the Bible talks about it, faith is really having a relationship to God. And oftentimes in Bible studies, I will tell people that faith and relationships are synonymous. You can interchange them. So that when the Bible says something like, "The righteous will live by faith," we can interchange that and say the righteous will live by their relationship. Jesus says, many people on the last day will come to him and said, "Lord, Lord, when did we see you and not do these things?" He said, "I tell you the truth, I never knew you." Jesus is saying, "I tell you the truth, I never had a relationship with you. You may have known me. You may have known where I came from. You may even be able to regurgitate a lot of the things that I was able to say. But I didn't know you, and you didn't know me." He's talking in relational terms. And so if we're going to flourish, if we're going to have that kind of a relationship, we have to know something about who God is and what God is like. Now, if it is true that faith is like a relationship, and all of us are relational beings, then there should be some similarities between how we interact with one another and how we interact with God. How we relate to one another, the process of how we get and grow in relationships, will be important to how we grow in our relationship to God. Now, how you do that, or whether you're willing to do that, is something that is up to you. But when do you begin your relationships? How did you learn about healthy relationships? When you started to get making connections with significant people, when did that really begin? Well, for many of us, it began when we were just children. When did you learn about relationships? Is in our families, in our own relationships, in interactions with one another. We learn the nuances of relating to one another through our families and through our friends as we're growing up. And so it's foundational as we continue to grow. And so when we talk about how do we relate to God, it starts at a very basic level. And we talked about our faith begins through practical Bible teaching, learning the nuances of the language of the Spirit. We are both physical and spiritual, but we have to learn the language and the relationship which is spiritual. One of the first jobs I ever had in Kingsport, Tennessee, there was a man there that had come to the company from Russia, and his cultural dynamics were radically different than ours. As a matter of fact, all of us have what we call personal space. You know what I mean? There's often like a 2 or 3 foot buffer that you want to have between yourself and the other person when you're having a communication. And if people begin to press into your personal space, it makes you very edgy and very uncomfortable. And this man that came did not have the same personal space that we in the West do. As a matter of fact, when he wanted to have a conversation with you, he would enter almost nose to nose with you. That is really uncomfortable if you've ever experienced that. As a matter of fact, what people would do is when they would have a conversation, he would enter into your personal space. And as soon as that happens, what is your natural response? You want to back up. You want to create that space for yourself again. And so what does he do? He steps a little bit closer. And you find that by the end of the conversation, you've traversed almost the whole way down the hall, you stepping backwards and him stepping into your space. It made conversation nearly impossible, simply because we did not have the same understanding of how those relationship dynamics work. When we enter into the time of the Scriptures, we're understanding that relational nature that we can have with God. God is an awesome, powerful, holy God. But he invites us into a relationship with him that is based on a covenant and on a commitment. But we have to learn those dynamics. Those are foundational to entering into a relationship. But Bible study by itself is not the relationship. It's only the foundation for it. As we continue to grow in our years, we find that we begin to mingle with other people. We go to places where we get to practice our social skills. As we enter into our teenage years and as we grow, we learn those dynamics of relating to people. As we grow older, we learn certain things about our spouse or our significant other, about opening the car door for a lady or saying please and thank you, how to ingratiate and to be socially coordinated. And oftentimes when you think about when you met that significant person in your life, you met them presumably through other people. Maybe you went to some social gathering or you were introduced to them by a special situation or a special person that introduced you to this person and they became a friend. And we call those providential relationships, people that help you get connected. Our relationship with God, we need those special people in our lives that will help us introduce us to God and the unseen Spirit that dwells within us. Well, this morning, that just gets you the nuance, but you already know that in order to have a significant relationship, you have to go that extra step. There's something more that's still missing. Right now, we've only talked about the peripheral, about being introduced, about getting familiar with the person, about knowing who God is and what God is about, but there comes a point of decision about whether you're going to jump in or not. This morning, we're going to look at a passage from Luke chapter 11 where Jesus is addressing this to his disciples who are a little tentative about, can I really know God, or is God so holy that I only see him on weekends? So as we open up the Scriptures, we're going to find that Jesus addresses that need and he appeals to our most basic instincts. Would you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Luke chapter 11. Then Jesus said to them, now suppose one of you went to your friend's house at midnight and said to him, friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has come into town to visit me, but I have nothing for him to eat. Your friend inside the house answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, if friendship is not enough to make him get up and give you the bread, your boldness will make him get up and give you whatever you need. So I tell you, ask and God will give it to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Yes, everyone who asks receives. The one who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door opened. If your children ask for a fish, will you give them a snake instead? Or if your children ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, you surround us this morning with your presence, and you invite us into a deeper relationship. We ask, O God, that you stir our hearts, that we might find you and be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is dealing with his disciples who have come to know who God is through rules and regulations. Imagine for a moment that you were thinking about in your early days that you were going in and talking to a young couple about getting married. And you were asked to say, can you give us the pearls of wisdom? What makes for a healthy relationship? And you started out, well, these are all the rules that you have to follow. This is what you have to do at a certain time, certain ways. Always you have to do these things. You would give somebody a skewed view of a healthy relationship. Because a relationship is both spiritual and connects us at a deep level. It's about asking the deeper questions of what does that other person want? It's putting somebody ahead of your own needs. And so as we gather this morning and we think about what comes at that deeper level, we come to a place where we have to say there comes a place where it's all about our private disciplines, that moment where everything that we've been talking about, is it true for you? Are you willing to take that to the next level? Is it personal for what you are about? You see, up until this point, we've talked about all of the superficial things, about knowing the foundation, but at some point it all kind of coalesces into one. If you talk to people that have a faith that is really deep and rich, you'll find that they'll say things that are very similar. At this stage, they might say something like this, and then I began to pray for myself. And then I began to open up the Bible for myself. Instead of somebody else leading them to that place, they began to take ownership for their own faith. They began to grow in their own relationship. In our own relationships, there comes that moment where it becomes personal and it becomes real. And you take ownership for taking it to the next level. We move from friend to perhaps a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And we go to that next level. We become committed as we grow together. It becomes a personal discipline. See, so often when we talk about disciplines, people think about it in terms of how hard it's going to be and all of the rules and regulations, but these are the things that make our relationships flourish. They're the things that help us to grow together. When we take ownership and say, it's because I have a relationship with God, I'm growing in it, I've taken ownership for it. It's my faith that is growing, not just the church, not just my family's relationship. It becomes a place where your faith is dependent upon you, growing intimately, personally, having God knowing all of your faults and foibles, but also feeling the joy of His presence in who you are and who He's created you to be. We have to come at some level to take ownership for the direction of our faith. We can't just rely on the church that we belong to or the family that we belong to. It's about who I am on the inside. Are you growing in knowing God deeper? We got to take ownership. The second thing that's just critically important is there's a sense of desire. There's a sense of joy of getting to know and discover more about who God is. I find so often that people that take this step begin to realize that God is revealing so much to them. God is opening up himself, and they're saying, I'm learning so much about myself and about the life that I have, what's going to happen tomorrow and the future that God has. We come away with the joy of saying, I know God has a purpose for my life. And there's an overwhelming sense of fulfillment of that. It isn't that you just, well, I have to do my Bible study. I want to do it. I want to discover more about why is the world in chaos the way it is? Why do people seem to turn on one another? Why is there a sense of loneliness and emptiness? But also a sense of why is there such beauty and such wonder and such magic about the world in which we live? Where does that come from? And who's the creator of it all? We have a sense of desire to discover what God is doing. And finally, it requires a sense of diligence. Every relationship requires you to grow. It changes you. It challenges you. Because you have to see life from another person's perspective. You have to change. You have to yield a little bit. It's not just about what pleases you, but what pleases the other. And sometimes there's that time where you and your significant other, you kind of grate on one another. And if you think about it, those are the moments that you grow the most. In those times when maybe your faith feels kind of dry and you kind of say, where is God in all of this? It's because God is growing you, saying, trust me, come follow me, I'm right there, but I want you to pursue, I want you to work through that dry spell. If you've ever had that relationship with somebody that, an older person that has really a deep, profound faith, you will find that if you talk to them over a significant period of time, it's because they have been challenged in their faith and they have persevered through it. They have overcome those mountains, those obstacles, that they now have a deeper faith that just transcends anything that we can understand. So if you want to have that kind of faith that just bursts into life, that really shapes and redefines your life and those that are around you, you need to take ownership for it. You need to take a time where it's just about you and God. You need to begin to grow, and you need to have a sense of desire. Look at what he's already be willing to do in my life. He's already done. Look at what I'm able to discover. And then you have to have diligence. You just have to continue to pursue, even when it's hard. The next phase of this is once you have a private discipline. The next thing that happens in any personal relationship, when you have a relationship with somebody, one of the next things that seems to overwhelm is you want to just be rejoicing. You want to rejoice in that relationship. You want to tell other people. You want to go public in what's happening in your life. You want to tell your friends and your neighbors. You want to tell everybody that you have somebody significant in your life. And in our own relationship with God, we do the same thing. As you grow in your relationship, you will want to have a personal ministry, something that pleases God. What is it that makes him happy? One of the things that happens when we grow and we get into relationships with one another, one of the kind of things that happens every Valentine's Day, in order to express our joy, we do things like candy and flowers and little tokens that will be pleasing to the other person. Things that you already know that they love to have in their life, and you want to give it back to them because it makes them happy. It may put you out. You may have to go a little bit extra, but even that little bit of extra makes it that much more wonderful. If I have to work a little bit harder to perhaps make a cake or to do something special, that makes it even the more wonderful when I'm able to give it. When you have a personal ministry, when there's something in your life that fills you up and you're able to say, I'm able to give this as a gift to God because it makes God joyful, then you feel so rewarded and your faith is growing by leaps and bounds. But of course, that challenges us, doesn't it? It requires us to step out and actually put our relationship into action. It can't be passive. There's one thing that you learn about faith is it's not passive. It's an active, vibrant shaping of our life. If you want to know what your personal ministry is, where are you growing? How is it growing? There's a couple of things that you should ask. The first thing is it's going to create a compelling need. Is there a compelling need in your life that asks, how could I say no? When I'm asked to participate, or when people invite us into a relationship, how could I say no? It was such God calling me into this ministry. How could I not be a part of what's happening in the life of the church? If you want to know what's really on God's heart, if you want to know what God is shaping in your own life, how could I say no? There's so often that you ask people about getting involved in the life of the church, and they feel like it's such a burden, like, oh, I'm going to have to take out time of my busy schedule to do all of this. But if you have find people that really have that kind of faith, they're going, how could I not? It was so joyful. It was an opportunity for me to give back. I saw a quote earlier this week that really, it's just so wonderful. It said, if we're first able to give ourselves completely and totally to God, every other giving is easy. It's that giving ourselves totally to the other person, that joyful giving, a compelling need. And finally, and this is probably the hardest one, it also requires a courageous response. See, God isn't going to give you something that's easy to do. He wants to grow your faith. He wants to grow your relationship. It's about building trust. There's so many times when people talk about a personal ministry, they'll say things like this. They'll say, and then they ask me to help with Sunday school. They ask me to help with, and it took me out of my comfort zone. I wasn't ready for that. And I was scared to death. I didn't think I could do it, but I said yes anyway. And God in his heavens is saying, yes, that's exactly where I want them. I want them resting totally and dependent upon me. You see, so often we are trusting in what it says on the door of our office or our status in the community. And God wants to set all of that aside and said, I want a relationship that is based totally on who I created you to be. It's going to require you to step out of your comfort zone. It's going to require you to trust God. But the final statement that really pulls it all together is when somebody said, and I was totally dependent upon God. I was totally dependent upon. It felt so dependent upon God in my life. And God said, that's where I want you to be. That's where I want all of us to be. To that place in our life where he said, I was totally dependent each and every day on what God was doing in our life. If we can get to that place where we have private disciplines, a private time, just God, just knowing what's going on in the world and in our own heart, and we have a personal ministry where we expand and we reach out and we feel God's joy, your faith is going to burst in ways you can't even imagine. And you're going to come away going, that was the most wonderful experience. One of the ways we see this happening regularly in our own church is whenever we get together for like VBS, you know, sometimes Kiana has to go around and kind of put the touch on people. And what happens at the week after VBS, dealing with all those little kids and the chaos that goes on, you'll definitely, without a question, you'll have people that have come in and said, I was so blessed by that. I got to tell you, dealing with those kids, I didn't think I could deal with it for a whole week, but I think I was more blessed than they were. That is God giving you back what you have offered to him, and you grow. What we want to do is create opportunities for you to do that all the time. To step up and to feel God's presence each and every day. So ask yourself, where is your relationship? Are you kind of superficial? You're just kind of learning the basics, learning how to interact? Are you kind of growing? Is it becoming personal for you? Are you taking that step? Are you looking for somebody in your life to lead you to something deeper? Do you have a personal ministry where you're saying, I'm able to pour myself into making that person happy? Are you looking for opportunities to grow? This morning, as we come for Holy Communion, you're going to have an opportunity to experience God's unconditional love for you. It's His statement that says, I love you this much. Are you willing to give it back? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity to praise you and to experience you in our worship. We ask, O God, that you surround us with your grace and your healing. In Jesus' name, amen.